Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC. I
want to thank John Dyer, the CEO and founder at Nova Title, our newest sponsor. They're 20 years in business with offices in Worcester and Solon to serve you. They can be found at NovaTitleAgency.com. They're making the American dream come true with three attorneys, six licensed title agents, two e-notaries on staff, and you can close at any time. You're choosing. The American dream comes true at Nova Title. John Dyer and his staff will help you do so at NovaTitleAgency.com. Hey, it's Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time, and I have two fantastic guests in studio today from the Aurora Greenman, where I raised my kids. I have three Aurora Greenman graduates. I've got Dan Fishback. Dan, how are you?
Good morning.
Good to see you.
I'm doing good. You?
Good to see you. I like that you're sporting the green of Aurora, and I've got their head coach, Mike Reiba, former Chanel young
morning.
Man. Good to see you, Mike.
Good to be seeing you.
It is good to see you healthy,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we talked about off air. You had a pretty dangerous and near tragic accident back in springtime. Tell us a little bit about what that happened and how you doing from there.
I'm doing pretty well. I was on a ladder, which I've done my whole life, and
yeah,
was into the day. I was tired, got lazy.
Yeah,
was trying to put a pergola roof on the back of my house.
Okay,
and the ladder slipped.
Jeez,
went over backwards, hit my head.
Oh no.
Broke eight ribs, punctured my lung, three compression fractures in my back. So I was laid up for a while. Missed about 2.5 months of work. A lot of people stepped up, though. Okay. I mean, it was great to see, you know, my family and my girlfriend.
Sure. Let's name her.
Denise.
All right,
yeah,
Denise.
She's a sweetheart.
We love Denise.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
It was. It's tough. I mean, I tell you, the wrestling mentality gets you through a lot of stuff.
Sure does.
You know, you just got to keep going through the next day.
Yeah.
I got metal plates in my ribs now holding everything together.
Wow.
You know, they cut me from my shoulder blade down to my lower back to put all the plates in.
Yeah.
And I'm still numb in the front, the whole, because of the back of my ribs I broke. But they numbed all my nerves in the front. They're still numb.
Okay. Is that going to come back, or who knows?
They don't know. They said they could put me on medication and would bring it back, but the side effects of the medication, are they worth it? You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, I'm pretty lucky. I mean, when I went to see the doctor.
Let's you want to name him? Or do you not?
I would, except for right now, I'm forgetting all that stuff.
All right, I got you. Okay, cool.
But I did, he did.
That's part of what's happening to you, right? You're forgetting things.
Yeah, the concussion symptoms right now, I'm forgetting a lot of stuff. It's coming back to me, but.
Okay.
That's.
Well, whoever your doctor is, thank God.
Yes,
right?
thank God.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went to see him. He said I was the second patient in Ohio to have this.
Holy cow.
The other guy was 25 years old or something.
Wow.
So I was like the poster child. I'd appreciate not to be the poster child at 60, but
yeah.
And then went to see my back doctor, and he told me, he said he's been in this business for 30 some years and he's never seen that surgery before.
Wow.
So they really didn't know what I was allowed to do.
Sure.
You pretty much just do what you can do.
Yeah, it's a day at a time, right?
Yeah, and with the wrestling mentality, you want to go out and do it all the next day, and
yes.
I paid for it. You know, I'm still there's days where I'm doing stuff I probably shouldn't be doing, but, you know, I'm working on it. You know?
Well, you know, Mike, I interviewed a guy that wrestled for Beachwood in our first season, Alan Krause. And I don't know if you listened to the episode, but Alan was in a fatal plane crash when he was 19 years old. He was captain of our team in 73. Everybody died but him.
Oh, boy.
And he was paralyzed from the waist down. And that guy walked in at 65 years old 2 years ago. He's now 66.
Walked in
now with you know, braces, okay, and hand braces. But that guy said, I'm going to walk again. And that was, he said, wrestling saved my life.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, I could have, the first 2 weeks were hell.
Yes.
But I really think that the wrestling mentality, you know, you just do it, get yes. through it, grind through it. I yes. think that really helped. When I went to see my physical therapist, he was kind of like, man, you got to back off because yeah. you're not helping yourself. And I'm like, I can't back off. This is what I do.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, yeah, it's crazy because that day, earlier in the day, and it's now that I look back, I was getting ready to turn 60.
Yeah.
In like 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, and have a fun time, right?
Yeah, and I'm first driver that's made it to 60. You know, my parent, my mom and dad died early, my grandparents all died early.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
So I'm sitting in the backyard, and I see a helicopter go over, and I'm like, you know, I'm 60.
Yeah.
I said, maybe for my 60th, I'll take a helicopter ride. And I'm like, you really don't want to do that.
Right.
4 hours later, I was getting life flooded downtown, and I don't remember any of it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, isn't that the craziest?
It's crazy.
That is so crazy.
I woke up in the hospital, and Dan Fishback was standing over me, and I said, I'm in hell.
Oh. I think it was the first.
Dan, you're a really good friend of Mike's, obviously, and also, too, with your son, the amazing Dylan. Yeah. Tell me a little bit as a friend, as a good friend, as a best friend, maybe, how that felt and what kind of support did you guys give Mike and the community?
Well, it's, you know, anytime you have someone that's close to you that gets injured or needs help,
right.
you know, the humanity part of you is like, hey, what can we do to help? And
right.
Ironically enough, my wife was in the hospital the same time.
I heard that. Yeah. Did she have COVID or something? What did she
have? No, she's had a pretty long stint of health issues where she's had to have her colon removed over the years.
Oh,
and, you know, I could take offline, but, you know, like back in 2008, I had to resuscitate her in our bathroom.
Oh, dear God.
So some of the path that we've taken, but it happened to land us in here in Ohio because of Cleveland Clinic. So
yes, yes.
She happened to be in the hospital finishing up a reconstruction surgery.
Okay. Which is brutal.
Yeah.
Which
when I got the call, I'm like, oh, crap. You know, we all take life for granted. You know, you kind of heard Mike say, I've been doing this for years on the ladder, and that's not the first time he's probably did what he did. He just got lucky to that point. So you just never know when you're here, when you're not, and you need to live life to the fullest. But, I mean, it impacted the entire community, you know.
It's a great community, too. Yeah. I mean, I lived there for 20 years, so it was a fantastic community.
Yeah, Mike's a good dude. You know,
awesome.
He's like an older brother. He picks on me all the time, but I jab back at him. So, and that's kind of that love hate, but I'd do anything for him. Love him.
Well, you know, and Mike comes from a fantastic program of Chanel.
Yeah.
You know, one of my all time heroes, Graham.
God, he's the best.
What a stud. What a piece of iron.
Yeah, he's
right.
Yeah.
And I remember when he literally clotheslined Josh Anderson because he was being shithead, basically.
Yes, I remember well.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And he's like, you're coming off.
Yes.
I've never seen that before, right? So it was a high respect then. And, of course, you can't probably do that anymore, but this was the 80s, you know.
I saw him throw the towel in on, I want to say, Ben Ferrum 1 year in the Richmond Heights Finals.
Sure.
Because he told Ben twice to take down, and Ben kept shaking him off.
Yeah.
So Graham reached down and grabbed the towel and threw it in the middle of the mat in the finals.
Love it.
And said,
love it.
I'm the coach. You're going to listen.
Yep.
You know,
and
there was no fallback, nothing. Parents were like, "Hey, he's the guy."
I get it. I've done it. Yeah. I threw a towel in on a heavyweight. He was gonna be stalled out, and it wasn't even 3 minutes into the match. Mm. I said, "I can't stand this."
Yeah.
I said, "What are you? You're an effing statue."
Mm-hmm.
Threw the towel in, and Scott was my assistant coach. He looks at me, and goes, good call. You know, so having said that, you know, with this community support and all that, you know, let's talk a little bit about this amazing son that you have. And obviously, sadly, with your wife having the trouble that she had, it's been a blessing to the Aurora community in a way to bring your son into this incredible program and elevate the program with some of the amazing things he's done and now he's currently doing, and just won a tournament that made him number one, right?
Yes,
one
sir.
Versus two.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about what Mike's been to you, to your family, the Aurora program, and to Dylan.
Well, I think, so Mike and I have coached now 5 years. This will be the fifth year. So I was on staff before Dylan got in high school.
Sure.
And Mike's always been, you know, that the pillar within the program that keeps the checks and balances. And that's the one thing I think Mike and I are in cadence with.
Okay.
You know, we're that old school, kind of the dad mentality.
Right.
And I don't think we've ever really fallen too far off of some of the things that's come up where like, hey, we need to do this. We're like, yeah, we need to do that, you know. And so having that sounding block and that foundation's really important, especially when you're dealing with high school kids, right? The, having some structure, some life lessons, as you heard Mike talking about. And, you know, with us personally, Mike's been, you know, he's been a big part of just the direction the program has been going, you know? So, I mean, just the structure, making sure, being flexible, you know, especially with where Dylan's at, you know? I know we talk about the wrestling or about him, but he's got a twin sister that's equally as that's impacted from the wrestling community or the Aurora program, right? So, just having those pillars in place to where my kid feels like he can reach out to Mike and, you know, like Mike was, or Dylan's getting ready to go to Who's Number One.
Yeah.
I know that you guys are in talk, you know, conversation. As a dad, that's what I've always been behind scenes is putting the right people in place so that when this wrestling journey is over, you have those mentors, you have those individuals that you could bounce things off of. Or with Mike, he's just going to tell you, he's not going to bullshit you. You know, he's, nope, this is what you got to do. And I'm, like I said, I'm old school. And I think that that goes a long way with my kid because he's, you know, he's very to the ground.
So this is family.
Absolutely.
This is family,
yeah. I mean, because if it, I mean, no disrespect when I say this, if it was just about wrestling, I mean, you've got,
of course.
You know, he's number one kid in the country now. You know, he's always been pretty tough. We could have went to a Blair, we could have went to Wyoming.
Of course.
It's always been bigger than wrestling for me.
You know, and and my thing is I want to coach great human beings first.
Yeah.
You get those foundations right as a great human being. Wrestling kind of comes easy because you have dedication, hard work, loyalty, effort, all those kinds of things. Plus, if you become a student of the game, but you become a student of life, of the family. That's what this is all about. And my treasure is when a guy who's 50 years old calls me, coach, I need to talk to you, you know? And he's a major in the Army running a division down at Fort Bliss. I'm like, what are you asking me for, bro? You give me too much credit, you know what I mean? But that's what this is about, right?
Yes, sir.
And so I know that Dylan, probably 10 years from now, will be calling Mike and saying, hey, coach, I got this going on here at business. Talk to me a little bit about it. You know, give me a perspective, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, and it's ironic that you guys asked that because we just had a conversation yesterday. So, you know, his journey through to get us to this point. I wrestled for 9 years.
Sure.
Wrestled a year outside of high school.
Okay.
And we were in California, and at the time, my best friend is Bill Wick, which is Evan and Xander Wick and Luca Wick. Evan's a multi-time AA, right?
Right, yeah.
When we first started, we were practicing in the garage, you know, so under Steve Glassie. And, you know, you look back and like and he happens to be from Southern Ohio, and he's like, we got wrestling in Ohio. I'm like, I mean, in California. I'm like, we do?
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking we got surf teams and that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, right. Water polo is huge.
Water polo is huge. Soccer, baseball.
UCLA and all that. Yeah, you know. Well, it's interesting, too, because I had a superstar from your program, Tim Cortad, in, okay? And without question, he said, one of my greatest people in my life is Dick Bliss.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And so there you have it, right? And Beachwood had some real good tussles with you guys back in the 90s when Timmy was there, right? and Katora and that whole crew, and then I think we took fourth, you took third in the state. It was really, you know, some really good stuff. But he said great coaching is like the most important thing. And now he's, you know, the president of Pride One Construction. Yes. I mean, a very successful guy. And I also had the opportunity to interview a guy by the name of Michael Goldberg. I don't know if you remember Michael or not.
Yes, I do.
Well, Michael was actually been here twice, one of my dearest friends. And I asked him, you know, he is a criminal defense attorney, and he serves the underserved population. I said, if you could have a magic wand, tell me what would be the one thing that would really help solve those issues in that underserved population. He said, really, it's two things. Strong male role model in the family and great coaching. He says, great coaching solves so many problems. He says, so my advice is, get your kid into great coaching, and I think that's what Dylan has, right?
Yeah, I feel even it's just been this transition, right?
Okay.
So you go, I think it starts at the very, very beginning. You know, I have a kind of a thing that I look at is you're either in or you're out.
Right.
So you find the and align with core values with those coaches. What is it bigger than what you're doing?
Sure.
And you align yourself. And when you do, the results are the winning is a result of doing all the small things right.
Yeah.
And it starts, you know, and that's the one thing I learned from or tried to install with my kids.
Sure.
My shortcomings. Okay. So that way, hey, I use this.
What not to do, right?
What not
yeah,
to do.
What not to do, sure.
You know, and we're going to teach you how to diet, right? Because we've talked, Mike and I, we're big weight cutters. You know, I wrestled 130 my senior year.
Sure. Yeah.
Coming down from 160.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But during this process is making sure I've been able to put the right individuals that I felt were the founding blocks for, you know, the
That's so
blocks.
Brilliant, too, because I'm a big believer in, you know, when you're in the wrestling room, you wrestle. You don't lose weight.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? And I mean, I started with his uncle, with Mav Peters, our producer's uncle, Ryan Peters. I said, Ryan, we're going to wrestle right around 5 pounds of your natural weight, but we're going to get you in great shape. And it worked, you know, until sadly he popped out his shoulder. But at the end of the day, my best guy is a guy by the name of Sam Partain. Okay, he won 4 matches of the district, tough district. The kid is literally walking around at 160. He's going to wrestle 57. You know, it just that's just the way I believe the sport is should go. And then you get away from a lot of the emotional issues because what happens when we all lose weight, right? We get crabby. You know, and we get depressed and sad and like, shit, I want to eat a donut.
Right.
So I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going with Dylan too, you know, kind of going through this just touch base, I'm not sure if you know who TJ Williams is. He wrestled at Iowa.
I coached against Joe.
Okay, yeah. So Joe
I coached at Wheaton North High School. A guy named Steve Havard, mm-hmm. who was a stud, and he took third to Joe twice.
Yeah.
So I know that family well.
So Joe's TJ's older brother. So sure. When Dylan was 8 years old, I started taking him a day a week, 2 days a week to TJ. And to this day, and this is kind of what I was alluded to earlier, he's probably been the most instrumental or influential
yes.
coach because everything back then wasn't about winning or losing. It was about effort and keeping your mind, regardless of the situation, clear on what your next thought is or your next, you know, score the next point, right?
Right.
And so even to this day, if he gets in a tough match, I just SMSB, strong mind, strong body. That's always been our, like, reset.
Yep.
So, you know, it's having those people in life.
And TJ comes from the Mount Carmel Caravan.
Yeah.
I mean, out of, you know, Illinois is fantastic. And
he's a great role model.
He is. He's a great role model. Joe Williams, amazing human being, right? And the other thing, too, that I think if you think about what, you know, your son is, I watched him as a junior, okay? He was great. But as a senior, he was world class. I mean, there was something that he's getting better and better and better. And he really understands how to win or at least give himself a chance to win in the really tough matches against some fantastic competition. That's what I'm seeing with Dylan.
Yeah. I think one of the things, too, is, you know, any advice I could have as a parent. Obviously, I'm a coach.
Right.
I've never coached my kid after eighth grade. I decided to turn him over.
Sure.
Because I got to coach him in life, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so, but we've never been afraid of competition. So as a parent, I want to take you, and if you had him here, he'll tell you our number one goal as a kid, and I know, Mike, you've heard this. If you ask him, what was our number one goal? To get you 10 losses. Dads today, like, what? I'm like, because those are those small percentage of where we need to improve, how we can get proven, how to deal with life, the struggles, because it's hard to shake another dude's hand that just beat you, right?
Oh, boy.
So that's always been our focus point. What's your losses, not your wins.
I love
and,
that.
You know, like you'd mentioned, I think he jumped levels. That's a, you know, contributing to the coaches that's around him. You know, you got Mike. You know, we have Adam Cabales. We've been with Adam. You know, and is the extra work that he's willing to do and commit to.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
The other thing, too, I think a lot of people don't realize, you look at him like, man, he's gotten so big, he's cutting a lot of weight. He cut his freshman year, sophomore year. He was because it made us a better team.
Yeah.
And then as a junior, he's like, I'm not cutting whatever I weigh.
Yeah,
that's what
I'm
wrestling. And then last year, a lot of people thought he was cutting to get to 95. He at Wayouts. He was, what, 192.4.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
After Eve and Subway.
Love it.
You know, he's like,
yeah, and so happy. Yeah. Just a happy wrestler. I love
well,
that.
Well, and I think, too, you know, now he's at a point where he's verbally committed. He's in a great culture program that fits our old, like our yeah. morals, like we yeah. talked about.
And where's he at?
NC State.
Sure.
Yeah. Beautiful. And yeah. Pat, yeah. Papalizio and.
That's the Wolfpack, right?
The Wolfpack, yeah.
It's great. Great staff.
Great coaching staff. Timmy yeah. McCall, Adam Hall. You got yeah. Kevin Jack.
Oh, man.
And wow. then you've got Mike Avello.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Tommy Gantt there at the RTC. Oh, yeah. So
it's fantastic.
It's, yeah, I'm excited for him.
Well, we're going to explore more of that, and we're going to explore something that I want to talk to you about after the break. I'll be back with the Greenman. This is Coach Cimarroni after the break. Hey, have you ever wondered how the ultra wealthy grow their real estate portfolio so fast and furious? Have you ever heard of the infinite banking concept? Learn how you can become your own bank and build out your own real estate portfolio like the pros, like the ultra wealthy. Call Ed Knezovich or Ryan Miller at Next Level Continuing Education at 614-648-2440. Learn how to purchase investment real estate without spending a dollar of your own capital through Next Level Continuing Education. 614-648-2440. Mike Ryba and Dan Fishback. Guys, I want to talk a little bit about your background, Mike, in two story programs from the 70s and 80s. Obviously, the youth program, the Chanel, and then wrestling at Nordonia with some of the greatest coaches, Graham Coghill. You know, this is blood time, right? Yeah. And there's that blood time moment, and there was something said to you, Mike Ryba, that made you the coach you are today, made you the man you are today by some coach or maybe a number of coaches, because we talked about this, Dan, with I'm sure there's a ton of coaches that talked to Dylan that made Dylan who he is today. You know, obviously you have to have it intrinsically, but I'm going to turn it over to you, Mike. Talk a little bit about some of the coaches you've had.
Well, I mean, probably the biggest influence wrestling-wise for me was probably Graham Coghill.
Yeah.
I mean, Graham was was the Longwood coach.
Yep.
You know, we came up from...
Story program.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was on there. I might not have been on their first team, but second or third team.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
You know, we had guys with, like Dane Tussle, who was Jay Jaggers, yep. Dad Jeff was right. on that team. You know, we traveled all over like the kids are doing now.
And your brother,
and my, too. And my brother was, you know, my brother actually ended up going to Chanel, but, but, you know, Graham had a lot... Graham... really related to the kids real well. Chuck okay. Keller.
Sure.
There was a lot of great coaches in that room. You know, then I wrestled for Gary Walters at Nordonia.
Yes.
You know, Gary's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Well, you guys won a state title in 77. That was what, your sophomore year?
My sophomore year.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then
Brnilovich was on that team, or was he too young for
Bobby was a little younger than me. It was Tussle, Jenkins, Ans Vines, Tony Codner.
Both Jenkins, right?
Both Jenkins. Yeah, Tony Codner.
Sure.
Ken Schwerber was our heavyweight.
Oh, wow.
He was a 220-pound heavyweight that...
He was an animal.
It was an animal. Still an animal.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we all came up through Longwood. Most of us wrestled together for a lot of years.
Right.
So it was a pretty solid team. And then went to Tri-C, wrestled for John Borsch, who passed away two years ago. But, you know, JB had a lot to do with me.
And Tri-C won a national title, didn't they?
Or we were second that year.
Second. Yeah. Did Lakeland win one?
Lakeland won one.
Yeah, yeah. I think Billy Atkins was on that team, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Richmond Heights.
Actually, I wrestled Billy a bunch of times.
I'm sure you did, yeah. He's a tough kid.
Yeah. But, I mean, JB really helped me to just grow up and mature. And, you know, I graduated at 17.
Okay.
Went to Clarion, wrestled for Bob Bub for... a year, and I just was an immature 18-year-old kid when I got there. Yeah. You know, I weighed 120 pounds.
Right.
You know, I was getting beat up every day.
Sure.
We had a fifth-year senior, I think his name was Tom Diamond, that would beat me up. I've never, ever physically got beat up like that guy did to me every day.
Oh, wow.
But came back, wrestled at Tri-C for 2 years.
Okay.
You know, won two national titles at Tri-C with JB, and then...
That's awesome.
Then went to Clemson, but, you know, then I got with... I coached at Bedford, getting out of Clemson.
Right.
Coach at Bedford with Norm Codner, and we had, you know, we had some pretty good teams.
Who was was Shallis there or no?
No, Shallis recruited us and then left.
Okay, okay.
So Ed Griffin.
What an interesting guy.
Yeah,
fascinating guy.
Yeah, he could definitely get the best out of you, though.
No question about it, man. And wow, he could pin anybody from the stands. He'd come out of the stands and just go out there and pin a guy.
It's crazy. I saw him at the NCAAs in Pittsburgh a couple years ago, and just had some crazy conversations with him.
Oh, God, yeah. He's got some opinions. Yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, Dick Bliss has been – I coached with Dick for 9 years.
The first time I was ever impressed by Dick Bliss was at the Kenston tournament in 1973, Dan. I don't know if you're even alive yet.
2 years old.
Two years old.
Wow.
They had a stud 167-pounder named Todd Jindra. Mm-hmm. He was feared. He went out there and just mauled people. And it was the same year that Sean Gorell pinned El DiGiovanni in the finals. And that was not a pretty sight.
That's when the Kenson tournament was brutal.
Sean Gorell. He was, I got chills. I mean, he was just gorgeous.
The Kenson tournament back then was
Oh my God. Ralph Graham. I mean, you know, it was just crazy. It was crazy, yeah. In 1978, we're going to go back to your era, and I had the honor of coaching Tommy Gallagher, mm-hmm. Patty's father, okay? Tommy wrestled at the hardest weight class I've ever seen in any high school tournament. He won it. He beat Jerry Levine, our state champ. He beat Vetter Chardon, mm-hmm. two-time state champ, and he beat Lance Anzavine.
Beats Lance, yeah.
How do you, come on. That is wrestling royalty right there. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it was crazy.
I still remember that match.
Tommy Gallagher.
With Lance and Tommy Gallagher.
I mean.
It was a brawl.
And they were brawlers. Tommy was one of the hardest-nosed kids I've ever seen in high school. Yeah. So, and it's not too bad. yeah, Lance too, but yeah. And his son's not so bad either.
No.
But anyhow, as you were saying.
I mean, Dick Bliss said, coaching-wise, I think, between Graham and Dick Bliss.
Yeah.
That's where I get most of my, I'm still old school.
Sure.
I don't have the technique that a lot of these, I don't have the time to keep up on the technique.
Technique is technique. It's about position, right?
Yeah.
So I look at technique and I can tell been doing this since I was 13, it's just, you're in a bad position.
Yes.
So I coach what I call economy of motion. I want to be in the best position with the least amount of work and then blast it through.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, like, if you look at, like, Burroughs, right? He sets it up, and then all of a sudden he's there, and then boom. You know what I mean? But if he's out of position, athletically he may be able to adjust, but typically he doesn't need to adjust because he's in great position.
Yes.
Right? And I think that's what a great head coach does.
Yeah, I mean.
It sees that.
Dan and I talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Positioning. He's a lot of old school himself. We're on the same page a lot with that. A lot of these guys are getting their technique from the clubs they're going to.
Yeah.
They're getting with younger coaches. They're working with guys like Ty Mitch and Adam and some of the other guys. These guys, they're making a living doing it.
Yep.
They're technically very strong. Johnny Pappas was pretty good technically.
No doubt. Yeah.
So, we had Decatur in there now. Josh is doing a good job with our
technique. He's terrific.
Yeah, he's terrific. We'd have been lost without Josh last year because this whole thing came together a week before the season started with Johnny leaving and
then COVID. Then we had the COVID.
We had the COVID. So.
Yeah, you had a really tough scenario.
And I never wanted to be a head coach. I always liked to be the guy support. That just come and just support.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
To be in your ear and say, hey, you might want to try this way.
Right.
And
yeah, like a smart uncle.
Yeah. So that was always my. I never wanted to be a head coach. I'm not doing the stuff that I'm doing as a head coach isn't the stuff I wanted to be doing.
I understand. I get it. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But
a lot of people don't realize how much extra effort Mike puts in as a head coach or the head coach role because. For me, I have a job, I put in, my job has changed, but I was in, last year I was in Wisconsin most of the time.
Gotcha.
So I'm working 70 hours a week,
Here with Windstream?
I am now.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
But it's like extra hours, it's not the wrestling side, it's the administration. And then as bad as it sounds, dealing with the parents' BS, and there's a lot of stuff you think, well, you're in high school.
Yeah,
man, that does not go away.
Yeah,
but the rewards as a coach comes from when you see. I'll throw it out there. The Sagarises, Mike and I are at Sagarises. We coach the Sagarises together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we're at the state tournament, and Anthony and Robbie are both making the podium. You look at like that's worth all the bullshit.
I get it, man. I get it. I mean, I've had guys make the state finals, you know, like we look at each other like, you know.
That's awesome.
And I had a, when I was coaching, I coached John Carroll a few times, and there was, they had had an All-American in like 3 years, 4 years. Last guy was Mark Haywald, okay? And there was a kid named Ben Adams, never made the district, and he was out of Michigan. And he's a senior, and we worked, and he took eighth in the country. And I remember he looked, I was up in the stands because I wasn't on, and he looked up and he goes, we all did it. And I said, when I walked in the room, I said, we're going to have a national All-American. And we got that national All-American. But he took eighth. You know what I mean? But that's what this is all about.
Did you tear up? Treasure.
Tearing up. I could tear up right now. I love this kid. And now he's a Presbyterian minister. He just celebrated 10 years of marriage. I love Ben Adams. He's a great guy. He's the guy.
Yeah.
He's like the poster child for what our sport's all about.
Yeah, right? we're gonna miss the Zagarises. They're not the most talented, they're not the most athletic, they're not the smartest.
Right.
But they had huge hearts. They will grind, and you know, their goal is to get to the state tournament and place, and That's what they did.
And that's what Graham's all about, right?
Never give up.
Never give up on a kid.
No.
Right? Never. I had Urbison.
Right.
I was fortunate to have St. Greg in. And he said, there's two lessons from Howard that I took. Use the sport. Don't let the sport use you.
Right.
100%.
Right? And never give up on a kid.
Well, so like Mike was talking in terms of them not being the smartest is their approach, right?
Sure.
They were... early on, it took for 5 years, 4 years, right, from their freshman year to stop worrying about the winning.
Right.
Just, we got to do this, you know, and, you know, you can put a lot of pressure on yourselves. But they're an epitome of coming through a program, sticking to what they believe they needed to achieve their goal. And I think that's kind of what Mike alluded to earlier with wrestling. I mean, we all have things, you know, our personal family, you know, not to get off topic, but
no,
had I not wrestled for 9 years, had my kid not been in the sports and his twin sister been around that, even though she wrestled, she was a state placer in Illinois.
Fantastic.
So, that core value, just knowing that, okay, you know, you got two options. You can either quit or you can keep moving on.
Right.
And when life throws you curveballs, and it will.
Yes, it will.
You got to figure it out and say, okay, you know, it's that it is what it is mentality. You know, you've heard that, right?
Totally.
It is what it is. I can control how I handle the situation. And I think you look at some of the kids that's come through the program, and we use the Seguiris.
Yeah. And I love that. And on this way here, I was talking to my brother, whose daughter plays for Hathaway Brown tennis, and they're in the state finals, a tennis team. And he goes, do you have anything that, you know, I could talk to her? I said, here's what I would tell her, because she's the third single, and so that's like the pivotal thing in tennis. I said, have a short memory emotionally and a long one intellectually.
Yes. That's good.
Right?
That's good.
You know, and he goes, I got that. Yeah. I got that, Pete. And so it's just what it is, like you're saying. Right. You know, you can't control the past. It's done. The past is done, but learn from it.
Yes.
Right? So emotionally get rid of it, but intellectually learn from it.
Yeah.
And it's when I coach my employees or the team at work, and you know, even I try to implement a lot of that in the home. I tell my kids, you look forward, you lean forward, you fall forward.
Yeah.
You know,
fail forward.
Yeah. And, you know,
George G. Camilla told us that.
If I'm not
a bad guy to tell us fail, that.
You know. Yeah. It's in progression. Sure. Don't be afraid to take chances. And if we got to fall with our head forward, don't look back. Don't look in rearview mirrors. Because if you do, you can get caught in life real easy.
Yes.
You know, and you can go into some deep, dark places. So that's always been kind of, as a dad, you know, it's as obviously we've talked with about instrumental part. I think that's the one thing for me as a coach with Dylan. I am old school like Mike, and he had. Yeah. You know, I look back because I never knew my biological father. And you look at that and say, how can I be a better dad?
Right.
Here's what we need to do. And then identify and hand them over to guys like Mike and TJ and Adam and say, okay, I'm still behind scenes. You don't need to know the conversations.
You're the foundation, bro.
Absolutely.
You're the foundation. And you got his back, sideways, front, and all. So I love that. And so you're back. You're going to be here. You're going to wrestle. You're going to coach.
I don't know about wrestling, but I'm going to be there.
Well, your team is going to wrestle. You're going to coach. You're going to be here. You're going to support the Aurora program is in good hands.
We're going to be pretty good this year.
I hear that. Mm-hmm. I hear that.
We're going to be pretty good.
Get it. I'm going to see you guys in the Central District.
Hopefully we won't screw it up, but there's some pretty good kids in there.
Yeah, well, I know you got Lillard back, right?
Lillard's back.
Yeah.
You know, Fish back.
Is he going 57?
Right now, it looks like he's probably going to go 60. I don't even know the new week.
65.
65. He's talking about going 65. He's at Indiana this weekend on his official visit. And then Kerbo is ranked in the top, I'm going to say top 10 of the, in like the country. You know, then you got the Julius and.
Sure.
And there's some pretty good kids coming back.
You got the Green Twins coming in, too. So Johnny was in the OAC state finals last year. So I was in his corner. Actually, myself and Dylan. Kind of coach those coming through because they come through Adam with, you know, through the AK.
Gotcha.
So, you know, we have high hopes for them coming in as freshmen competing, as you know. You've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a level of adjustment, but there's a, don't overlook them just because they're freshmen. And then to Mike's point, you know, we've got some, you know, you start getting into some of our returning seniors. You know, there's a kid out there that a lot of people have forgotten about. When he's on, he's lights out, and that's Nick Willingham.
Yes, and, right.
There's a great chance he's coming back. You know, he'll be there this year.
Ashton Smith
at 157, you know, and then you got Bo. And Bo's just, if you go back 2 years ago, I was in his corner, you know, we're 42 seconds away from going to the state, you know, qualifying for state, and he ends up getting into zone self, you know. I mean, in the top four kids that year coming out of our sectional, his weight
were
the top four kids in the state.
I remember that sectional. My kid took sixth, and he was a tough kid. He won 25 matches, you know. So I remember that. Yeah, absolutely. So
we have some contributing factors there. We're going to be solid. We'll be much better this year. It's going to be, I think, you know, with our coaching staff, we've got some levelness there now after a year under our belts, having Mike as head coach and the foundation, our coaching meetings, you know, the sync. I always use the word cadence, you know, but we're pretty in cadence as a coaching staff and always looking to better the program. And that's one thing I think Aaron Grossman's done really well.
Sure.
You know, is he's always moving, like we're talking about moving forward, what can we do? Communicating, keeping everyone in intact, because I think that was one of the things.
Yeah, I coached Aaron back in the day.
His brain never shuts off.
He was my co-captain in 92 with Maverick's uncle. Ryan.
Yeah, that guy's brain never shuts
absolutely
out.
Absolutely right. You know, and I like what I saw him when Mitch Clark came in and did it. Matter of fact, we interviewed Mitch, and he said, "I want to continue to build a family like you did at Beechwood and at Chagrin." You know, and I respect that a lot. You know, so keep doing that, guys. That's fantastic. Right. You got a great family. You got a great support system, and you got a great community. Go Greenman unless you're wrestling a tiger. But I want to close this with a fun thing.
Sure.
We had a moment, you and I.
Oh, boy.
A moment in time, my friend.
Right.
And I was as relaxed as can be because I knew my kid was probably not going to win. And I'm sitting there and at the sectional tournament, and you're running to get to coach your son, Dylan. And you took a tumble.
Oh, it's actually
It somebody else?
Yeah, it was another kid because I don't coach him. But yeah,
okay,
it was Bo.
Okay, it was Bo.
I think
Julius?
It was Bo. Okay. Yeah, because I went to the table. There's some blood time or something. Yeah. And ironically, here we are, blood time talking about.
Yeah,
it, right?
Exactly right. Yeah,
and had some slides, you know, some slide shoes.
I'm a good
on.
Marketer, by the way.
Hey, there you go. And I'm like, oh snap, they're about to start, and Josh is in the corner, so I hustled in my. Yep. My foot came out, and I just kind of did a tumble.
I did a tumble right in front of me, and I gave you the safe sign.
Oh, man. That's what happens when you're a little bit big, and I had that boiler in the way,
but
man.
But look at you, man. You're getting slender.
I'm
man.
Trying.
I like that. You know, I like that a lot. Yeah.
I got a long ways to go. But
it's all right. You're looking good, man.
I'm heading the right direction. But
so we need to turn out. We need to put that on America's home funniest home videos, right?
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. At least I did it gracefully and rolled up, popped up, and you're like, safe.
You did. You were like, hilarious. So I came up, and you did a pirouette. It was beautiful.
People don't bounce.
I gave you a save. I should have gave you a 10 as well.
Right. People don't realize it. You look at you like, man, he's a little fluffy dude, but I was pretty athletic, you know.
You could tell. There was no question about it. I didn't think you were hurt at all. So if you were hurt, I would have been different, giving a different response.
I may have went to the hospital that night.
I think somebody videotaped it, right, and started to play it and then gave it to me, and I played it. And, you know, Kabbalah gave me a little shit about it, but that's okay.
Hey,
I love Adam. He's great.
You know? You got to take life for what it is. I mean,
you got to laugh, right?
You know,
we got to laugh.
It was one of those things I look back on it. My kids still to this day, matter of fact, my mother-in-law is visiting, and they showed that video to my mother-in-law, and she damn near had a heart attack last night.
Well, let's do it. Pants, so. It was funny. It was fun. I was glad to be part of it. You know what I mean? So, and I'm glad that you guys are part of it. We tried to do this earlier with
Right set. Before the injury,
Yeah, and it was just too much, and I'm glad that we're all here. We survived the insane year of the year that was 2020, 21.
I hope it's better this year.
Yeah, I know it's going to be. And I'm wishing you guys all the best again. You too. And good health, Mike. Thank you. Get that memory back. Yeah. Okay. I know that you remember me.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad, I don't know.
It's all those nightmares.
Dan, it's been great to meet you and become a friend.
I appreciate it.
And I really wish nothing the best for Dylan and your family and of course, your wife.
Appreciate the support, and it's always good to be able to build and expand the brotherhood, you know, and the sport, right?
Absolutely. So, well, love to the Greenmen.
Thank you.
Love to all. We are all blood.
All blood.
Coach Cimarroni. You know, we love Serve Pro of Beachwood as a sponsor, and Jack Coslin, former All-State wrestler from Beachwood, who wrestled with my producer's father every day, Maverick Peters, Scott Peters, Dr. Scott Peters, on a daily basis. They both made the state tournament, and that quality of making it and all that foundational pieces of making the state tournament has served Jack well, Jack Coslin, the owner of Serve Pro of Beachwood. And you know what he needs now? He needs management help, and the opportunities for working with ServPro and getting a career in ServPro management have never been better. You need to seek out Jack Coslin at serveproofbeachwood.com for these incredible management positions, starting at $70,000 a year, full benefits. That's right, full benefits, absolute opportunity for growth with ServPro of Beachwood. Give Jack Coslin a call. Call Jack Coslin, ServPro of Beachwood at 216-464-4498 and mention Blood Time and Undeniable with Coach Cimarroni.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.